eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
Welcome to Eat, Drink, Talk, Louisville's top restaurant bar podcast, where we dive deep into the local dining and drinking scene. I'm your host, Steve Coombs, with my co-host, Rick Redding. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just great. We're having a lot of fun diving deep in all these restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
With Derby's news.
Derby season, you know.
People are out.
Winding up. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, when the weather's good. I mean, it just, what is it about thunder over Louisville that it can just be catastrophically bad?
Well, we could get have a whole conversation about weather forecasting, Steve, because I know you kind of sometimes defend those guys. But I know people who didn't come to Louisville for thunder over Louisville because the forecast was for rain all night, and it stopped at 5 and was beautiful.
Yeah, it was pretty.
I mean, it was cold. It was cold.
But I'm sure it was mushy. Mushy muddy, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to have been down there. So,
but, you know, anyway. If they had been to the Eye Care Institute, they would have seen those puddles. Tell us about our sponsor, Rick Redding.
Well, it's your one-stop shop for eye care. Whether you have routine vision issues or need significant corrections such as LASIK, or you suffer with cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, or diabetes, the Eye Care Institute is where you want to visit. Its office located right here in Butchertown at 1536 Story Avenue. You can call and make an appointment, 502-589-1500. Do that.
I'm going there. It's Thursday, as a matter
of fact,
to get some new specs. So I can better read this script about Harvest. It's not even a script because it changes so fast what's going on down there. They have a few seats left for this month's 12-person chef's table dinner. The featured farmer is Barry Yates, who is a hog farmer, and he's providing the pork for a nose-to-tail dinner done by Chef Patrick Roney. $85 for the food, $35 for the suggested wine pairings, which I suggest you do, followed by suggested Lyft or designated driver ride home. Call 384-9090 for reservations because this one cannot be done online. Call them up. Like I said, just a few seats left.
This week. Wow. All right. Well, we're rolling in. Got a lot going on in the world. And Steve, you're kind of doing some research on how people are serving Derby meals.
And to call it research just makes me sad because back in the old day that meant phone calls. This was through Facebook, and I had just posted a question basically why all the pre-fee or fixed priced menus around Derby time. And I confess that I wondered, you know, weren't these young, you know, whippersnappers, aren't they as tough as I was back in the old days, you know, when we did full menus? No. That has nothing to do with it whatsoever. I got a lot of fantastic and insightful comments. People, well, the reason why I asked it is a lot of my friends and relatives ask me, why all these menus? And it just shows how different this restaurant industry is. For instance, you know, when I was in the business almost 40 years ago, there were far fewer fine dining restaurants. They were far larger. You could seat 250 at a time. Very few of these new restaurants even have half that many seats. And they don't have the ability to seat them that quickly. They don't have the staff year-round because the business on the weeknights leading up to it is much, much slower. So come Derby time, they can't staff up and be ready for it. So that's one part of the streamlining process of a fixed-price menu. But I don't think a lot of people realize this, but again, back in the dark ages when they were probably riding horses bareback for the Kentucky Derby when I was cooking, they ran the race close to 5:15 in the afternoon. Now it's 6:45, and what that does is delays the time drastically that people show up for dinner. So they're getting mobbed all at once, and another way to control that and give a decent experience is to do a fixed menu that people just order off of or just say, I'll have that, I'll have, you know, whatever drinks, and off they go. So don't complain or suspect like I did that maybe they're being lazy, because that's a totally unfounded idea.
All right. It's not laziness.
But get your reservations. If they're not already taken up, man, if you don't have them, you're asking for it. You are going to be eating at the places that I'll be eating, I'm sure, if you don't have a reservation.
You'll be having a hot dog at the track.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. A lot of stadium steaks, served up to 7 p.m., I'm sure. So
there is so many different types of food you can have at the track if you are going out to Derby Week at Churchill Downs. It's pretty cool what they've done over there and all the different amenities we had last year, the chef over there. He's got a big job.
David Danielson, yeah, right? He's right. Awesome. And a big man. He is a mountain of a man.
He is. He gets it done. All right, so we got a restaurant opening this week. There's always a rush to get open before Derby, right, for certain
places? It depends. I mean, that's a great question. But if you talk to people like, Brett Davis, who is opening the Red Herring possibly this week, he said, I want to do that to stay under the radar. Mm-hmm. I mean, because a lot of people are already focused on where they're going to go, their traditional restaurants for Derby, and they want to be able to get a little bit of that cast-off overflow into their restaurants to give them a quiet ride up, or walk up, rather. But okay. The Rock, the Italian restaurant in the Highlands, opened, I believe, last week without telling anybody. Apparently, wow. There's several people that have been in there, so that's open. It's right next door to where Rue used to be. I wish I had the address off the top of my head, but just go to the heart of the Highlands. You can't miss it.
Yeah, right down there by the Eagle and the Bristol and
that's
all that.
Right. That's right. And so I'm looking forward to interviewing Chef Rocco Caldolini tomorrow. He's the owner, actually. Moved from New York to be here with his in-laws.
We're going to have to check that one out.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, there are a million events going on this week and next related to the Derby, but as you know, I had a guest on here talking about Jill's Wish. I guess that was on the Rusty Satellite Show, but the Jill's Wish is a big event taking place at Bowman Field. It can be a lot of food, a lot of drink out there. It's and compared to other Derby events, it's not that expensive. It's Saturday night. It's like $65 to get in.
That's pocket change.
That's nothing.
Compared to most. So, no, what is the they're raising funds
well,
for
Jill, whom? Well, Jill Conley, people who have followed the media around here know about her story. She was the one, she was diagnosed with cancer and lived with it for 6 years, and her story was chronicled in a very detailed way in the Courier Journal. And, it made national news. It was a big, big deal. And her husband and some friends of his have started a foundation in which they put on this event every year and a handful of others. So, again, I can't say enough about those guys. And you remember our barbecue guy, Stephen Bowles. Stephen Bowles. Yep. He's doing the barbecue out there. So that's going to be a big event. And one well worth going if you don't want to pay like $1,000 a ticket for a
dinner. Sure it'll be great. I mean, these events are awesome no matter what they cost. It seems to me anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of places that you and I would afford to go to.
Things you learn by driving around. The Hilltop Tavern is back open again.
That's right. It was about 10, maybe a week or so ago, not quite 10 days. Yeah, it's all open. But, you know, that's a neat neighborhood just to drop down in for Derby and walk the streets because you have Silver Dollar, quite possibly Red Herring. I'm trying to think of the sushi restaurant that's right there.
Osaka, maybe?
Well, that's a little further up the street. It's got a strange name. It's not even the least bit Japanese, but it appears to be a good place. But, Hilltop's open. After month closed, plumbing issues and some other things, I understand.
Right, there were problems, but they didn't make any big announcement or something. I just drove by there one day, and there's people doing what they were doing 3 months ago, hanging out outside on the street drinking beer. And I did also notice across the street, the aforementioned Red Herring it's very close.
Oh, let's
hope so. You can see from the street, the lights and all that stuff is, it's kind of cool to see that marquee Hilltop sign on it. I'm sure that hadn't been operating
in a long time, would be my guess. So if you haven't kind of caught the theme yet of our discussion, you don't have to go fancy to have fun during Derby week. There are a lot of places to go. And, just this weekend, like my wife and I went to Back Door. I haven't been to the Back Door in for freaking ever. What a fun place.
And you couldn't find my portrait on the wall.
Well, I didn't know it was there among all the faces, you know. And had to trust that those are just wall art for nothing, you know, maybe not real people.
They're real people.
Back
by the kitchen, you can find me.
Yeah, so we had a great time at Back Door. It's had a lot of nicknames. I'm not going to repeat many of them, but I would call it Back Door Big Pour because I had a big pour of their Old Forester barrel pick that I'm going to talk about later. It's just fantastic. I mean, low prices. I also went to Kern's Corner. Had never been there.
Yeah.
You can believe it. I was out the door for $10. I mean, there's so many fun places where you will see locals out, travelers out for Derby. That'll be fun.
Those are all really cool. You know, I talked to John Dant on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Owner of Back Door.
Owner of the Back Door. And, you know, that place has been there, I think it was like the 30th anniversary.
That's
then.
Correct. And, I was there apparently in the first days.
Yeah.
right. Had I kept that money that I spent $1.85 at a time for Tanqueray and Tonics. Yeah.
That was really good. But a really cool place to go. And so is Kearns. I've been there a few times, and that's great. So we had some news. Tell us, because I didn't go to that event last week on Bourbon and Beyond.
So Bourbon and Beyond, they flat out came to, they came to Louisville. CEO of Danny Wimber Presents, a guy named Danny Hayes, super nice guy, very engaging. And he said that they just believe it's a matter of time before they convince the distilleries to come aboard. They're just all sorting through their schedules and figuring out how they can do it. They seem really smitten with Louisville. And in fact, you know, they were told by many that Louder Than Life would work here. So they're very excited
and
about
that. That thing does work. So I've seen that as well.
Reveal more details as we get them. But the news for me that night was to step outside and see that my car had been sideswiped by a tractor trailer.
Did they stop or was it a hit, Steve, and run?
No, apparently they hit my car and a couple of others and they called the police. And there you have it. So I'm driving a rental and we'll get my car back without being totaled. I'm excited about it. So.
That is. I'm sorry that happened to you. But
such is life.
Let's change to something really positive. And the energy you get from talking to Damaris Phillips is palpable. She is a bundle of fun. And I got to talk with her for the show right down on Frankfort Avenue. We went to Please and Thank You. They were very nice. We got interrupted by people asking directions. We did all kinds of stuff. But Damaris laughed it off. She's just a real delight. The only thing she does, she's a Food Network celebrity.
Oh, so she's not teaching at JC.
She is not teaching anymore, and she's involved in this culinary kickoff event that's coming up. We talk about that in the interview, and a couple of her, her taste, her background in growing up here and going to restaurants. It's, I think, a really cool interview.
Excellent. Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned, Pat Forty.
But I'm with the new Sherry Ott,
Kristen Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
Hello.
Hello, Damaris Phillips. Welcome to Eat, Drink, Talk.
Thank you for having me on.
I'm so glad to have you. You are our city's own celebrity chef. It's really impressive to have you here.
Oh, well, I try. I don't know how this happened, but I just keep keeping my head down and working hard and hopefully...
So you're doing a bunch of work with the Food Network.
Absolutely.
And like judging. That's a big part of what you do, right?
Yeah. So the network has a lot of competition shows. Like people love to watch people cooking while competing. Like it's just everybody loves it. We all know. We all watch it. We're like,
I don't know
competition
what happened to me.
Shows.
I missed all that. So,
oh, really? Oh, my gosh. I love it. So, but because you have a lot of cooking competition shows, you need people to...
You need judges.
I know, which is just my cross to bear. It really is. I have to eat delicious food every day. Yeah, so I do some shows. I do Guys Grocery Games or Beat Bobby Flay. We do Bakers versus Fakers or Dessert Games.
And you're doing this Kids Barbecue show now. That fascinates me.
Yeah, I'm a co-host for Kids Barbecue Championship on Food Network. It comes on Mondays at 8 p.m. The new season starts May 1st. Just snuck okay. that right in there. You
Just
see
so
that?
We know.
It's so subtle.
So all your local Louisville fans can tune in and see you on that and watch these little kids make barbecue, right?
Yeah, so it's kids that are 9 until 13 years old. Wow. And they come on, 4 kids come on in each episode, and at the end of the show, one kid wins $10,000.
10 G's. Wow.
$10,000.
For cooking some barbecue.
Yeah, absolutely. That's crazy. I mean, I think that's an enormous amount of money. When I was 12, I worked at the flea market for $25 a day selling rugs and moccasins. That's real.
Yeah, that is real. And I'm fascinated. I've heard a lot of some stories recently about you growing up here and working at Highland Coffee.
Yep.
And Lynn's Paradise Cafe.
Yep, my very first restaurant job was Lynn's Paradise Cafe. My first job in Louisville was a dry cleaners and laundromat called Silvercrest Dry Cleaners in Old Louisville. I know.
That's going way back.
Born
there.
And raised here, y'all.
And you worked in some local restaurants, too.
Yeah, so I started out at Lynn's Paradise Cafe. That was my very, very first restaurant job. Then I worked at Highland Coffee for a lot of years. And I'm just like, I love coffee, and for me, Highland, like, I still go in every morning. Okay. Like, I worked there for a decade, and I still...
Yeah, we're here at Please and Thank You, your suggestion.
Well, Highland is so, like, it's like a party. That's why I like going in, honestly. It's like, you go in, you see everybody. It's like Cheers. Mm. There's no way we're going to be able to go in there and get an interview done. Okay. There's no way.
Well, somebody may come up and ask us directions here in a second. It happened just a few minutes ago. All right, so where else? Now, didn't I see on your resume, didn't you work at Harvest?
Yeah, absolutely. So Kobe Ming is my absolute
sponsor of our show, so we should mention
that. Harvest is a wonderful restaurant. I worked there. I came over from Wiltshire when Kobe Ming came over to help open Harvest, and I would follow that woman to the ends of the earth. And she's a fantastic chef. She has since moved on from Harvest, but the food is still fantastic, and it's such a great restaurant to support, especially if you're into local foods and if you're into supporting our local economy and the foods and the products that we make here.
So I would imagine, had you not had this opportunity in TV, I guess you'd still be working around at a Louisville restaurant.
Yeah, so I taught at the culinary school down at Jefferson Community and Technical College. And so I had moved a little bit away from restaurant cooking. I still did it during the summers and a couple days a week. But I was teaching baking at the culinary school. And I loved it, man. When I landed that job, I really thought I had made it in life. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have to work nights and weekends.
When I'm 60, I'll retire.
So good. Like, I have a 401k. Like, and you know, like, restaurant chefing is hard. It is strenuous. It is taxing. It is the most fun in the world when you get done with a, you know, 15-hour day, 16-hour day. Your feet hurt. Everything hurts. And you sit down with your friends and you have a cold beer. I still miss that feeling every single day. I don't actually miss the feeling. I miss the feeling of sitting down and having a beer. I don't miss the 13 or 15 or 17 hours before I got to sit down.
Well, you do live here, and I know you travel a lot, but when you're here, tell me you have a favorite chef, or you have some favorite restaurants?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're in Louisville, I think that we have a really surprising, what surprised me the most is like our international foods. I think that we have some fantastic little spots. My favorite is probably, I love Cashmere for Indian food or Dakshins. Mm-hmm. Those two are fantastic. My favorite restaurant and the place that I went on a first date with my husband, Queen of Sheba.
Oh, wow.
Ethiopian food. It's my favorite. We probably go once a week. Absolutely. Wow. I love it so much. And the truth is, there's so many similarities between, if you really look at, we get the vegetarian combo, and so you're looking at a stewed cabbage, stewed greens, lentils. You're looking at food that is very similar to what you think of as Southern food. So greens and cabbage and green beans. Like, it's similar in a lot of ways.
So you like doing all this, but you must cook at home for your husband.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we cook probably right now I'm cooking probably two meals a day.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe three sometimes. He's not a big breakfast person, and he gets a smoothie for breakfast.
Okay.
So that's why it comes down to two. Yeah, so Derek is a vegetarian. What? I know, just shocked the culinary world.
Hasn't converted you, though.
Well, we keep a vegetarian home. Uh-huh. And if he's out of town, I'll make some, like, fried chicken or a club sandwich. Or if I'm out in the world, I'll have meat, and I eat meat for working. But at home, we really keep a plant-based diet, which is absolutely transformed. It's really transformed my way of thinking about food and thinking about Southern food. Uh-huh. And so, because it's just not something you learn, I wrote a cookbook.
You wrote a cookbook.
I wrote a cookbook called Southern Girl Meets Vegetarian Boy.
Oh.
Yeah, it comes out in October. Just a little plug there.
There's something coming.
Yeah, there is something coming.
So, TV star, author, okay.
Yeah.
And let's talk about Derby for a minute, because you got a big thing coming up.
Yeah, so Derby's my favorite time of year besides Christmas, and I'm really excited. I try, honestly, one year I worked for Derby when I was in the restaurants, like as a celebrity. Yeah. I did air quotes. You all can't see it because I'm on radio. I did. I
she
worked.
She did real air quotes there.
I did.
I promise.
But it feels like working on Christmas. So, like, why would I want to do events? And why would I want to work so hard through Derby? Unless it's a spectacular event. And so this year I've teamed up and I'm working with a wonderful organization. And they're putting on what I think is going to be a very, very different, very unique Derby experience. And it's the Thursday before Derby.
Culinary kickoff.
Absolutely. Culinary cookoff. It is, let's just say it. It's not a cheap event.
Yeah,
it really isn't. It's not. It is. Tickets are. You can get friends and family. I'll post them up on my social media after this.
$895 for that. That's
yeah.
A cheap ticket.
It's not. It's you are supporting.
But there's only 120 people that
exactly.
are going, and they get three. You and two other super chefs.
Yeah, so Bo McMillan, who is a fabulous, I mean, like, really stunningly amazing chef out of Arizona, who I work with on Guy's Grocery Games. We judge together. You've seen him on Cooks vs. Cons. Like, okay. He's a big deal. And then Todd English, which, I mean, like, if you have ever gotten to experience Todd English food, you are, if you haven't, come to the event. They have a fantastic lineup for entertainment. It's a three-course meal. Like, it's sponsored by Williams-Sonoma, Woodford Reserve, Esquire Magazine.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
like, it is.
That sounds like a fantastic event.
Absolutely.
I hope that, some of our listeners will go to the website, culinarykickoff.com, I believe it is,
yep.
And check that out. So that'll be great. And you're mentioning you're in this Food Network celebrity chef crew, right? You've got to
yeah.
have some stories about some of those people. You were like, oh, what's Bobby Flay like? That's what we want.
You know, Bobby Flay is, he is a lover of Kentucky. Like, that man, I think that if he could be anywhere else besides New York, I think he would be in Kentucky. And so he does a ton to bring awareness to this area and support it and love it and kind of let people know, like, how magical this state is. And so, of course, because he loves my home state, I love him. I mean, I loved him before. He's a really classy guy.
Okay. So when you're up in New York or L.A. Filming segments for the
yeah.
Food Network, I can't imagine that party that goes out for dinner afterwards to a restaurant. Is that fun?
Well, yeah, it's pretty fun. More fun than that is sometimes when we're filming Guy's Grocery Games and there's a lot of the crew in, so a lot of judges in. It literally films in Santa Rosa. So it feels, when you're filming, it feels like you've gone to summer camp. And you're hanging out with all of your friends that you haven't seen since the last time you're filming. And my favorite times are like Friday nights when Guy invites us. So Guy Fieri will invite us over to his house. And everybody shows up and everybody cooks. And you have way too many cooks in the kitchen. Like, literally too many cooks. No, absolutely not. Yeah, and we put together these dinners. And we're just hanging out, having cocktails, making stunning food. And, you know, Guy Fieri's kitchen. No yeah. big deal.
Everybody does that.
Yeah,
right?
no problem.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It is pretty fun.
You make quite a life for yourself here in Louisville.
Oh, I love this city. I mean, everybody says, like, oh, it would probably be better for you to live in New York or L.A. or something where they yeah. make TV. Hello, Paco. How are you?
Good. How are you?
One of the chefs from town just walked up. This is... Paco, say hello. He's doing
hello,
a podcast.
How are you, Paco?
It's nice to see you.
Good to see you too.
All right. Well, that's the thing, kind of thing that can happen when you do an interview out on the street
Absolutely.
On Frankfort Avenue, right?
Yeah, and when you Paco and I work together at Harvest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was there, good. And now he's doing great. If you haven't been to Comuevos, it's gonna the tres leches pancakes are so good you want to cry.
Well, I know
Literally.
They won the sausage and gravy contest.
Yeah,
in town,
absolutely.
So it's gotta be. It's
yeah,
gotta
he is a superstar. Like, he is. If you literally, it's a small restaurant, but man, I can't say enough good things about it.
All right, we're about out of time here on Eat Drink Talk, Damaris, and it's really been fun.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you so much.
And we'll look forward to seeing you at that big Derby event.
Yeah,
and,
Culinary Cook-Off. Everybody, it really is a fantastic event, and all the proceeds go to Muhammad Ali Center, and it's a touching time, especially losing Muhammad Ali. So if you're looking for
looking
something special.
Can I just get your dessert and just not do the rest of it?
Get like a little doggy bag? Like, I don't know. Let's see. $350. Go.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
And that was I had to rest a little bit after talking to Damaris. She's just
keeps it going.
It was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot about Louisville doing that.
Well, and that she was on the job at Highland Morning for 10 years. I mean, that says a lot. I mean, that says a lot, number one, in the restaurant industry, but in almost any industry. And like we were talking about in the break, I took an old client of mine to Bob Evans' favorite place today, and there were two waitresses that came up. One had worked there for 31 years and another 39. I mean, that's incredible longevity in a job, especially serving tables. They must love it. That's all I can say.
Well, we're always talking about turnover in restaurants, but there are some places that last and some people who last at those places. Absolutely. So it makes them fun to go back to. All right, this is our Copper and Kings favorites segment. Steve, tell us about that.
Well, Copper and Kings, as always, has some cool stuff going on. And in Derby Week, they are doing a Derby Social. It's at Farmington. It's on May 2nd, 6 to 11 p.m. It's at the Historic Plantation. And it's an old-fashioned pig roast with signature cocktails. Wow. Copper and Kings brandy cocktails, of course. Live music by the Juggernaut Jug Band and a local artisan market. $50 per person. That includes food and drinks. All proceeds will benefit the Historic Farmington. I can't talk today with this allergy issue. Plantation. So go to their Facebook page for details. You can get tickets there. And speaking of not being able to really pronounce stuff well, I butchered Rocco Candelini's name just a few minutes ago.
Well, I wasn't going to correct you, Steve.
That's why I'm going to the Eye Care Institute to get some better bitter glass.
Good. As you should do. Well, let's talk about I had a pretty cool week. I know you did too. Why don't you start out with what
my favorite bite was? The Kentucky Cuban sandwich at Monic Brewing. And it was funny. I neglected to describe in my Facebook post what that was, and people are like, what makes it Kentucky? Country ham. So
okay.
A typical Cuban sandwich is a roasted pulled pork, and then city ham, then Swiss cheese, pickles, and sometimes pickled onions, and occasionally a little bit of mustard. But that was great. It was really good. So it was at Monic Brewing in Germantown.
A cool place. I know about that. Well, I happened to get a chance to go see Neil Diamond the other night, who was playing at the Yum Center. Lots and lots of people there.
I mean, it's packed.
They're what, an empty seat. And
more gals than dudes?
I not really, but younger than I expected. I expect a lot of gray hairs like me, but there were a lot of young people there that dig.
I would imagine you were on the young end of the spectrum there.
That's what I would have thought, but like this person sitting next to me, she's like 30 years old and knew everything about Neil Diamond.
Isn't that funny?
That he's got some timeless music, I guess. But afterwards, Paul and I were hungry, and we were able to stroll right across the street to the sidebar.
How convenient.
One of your favorite places.
Yeah, love sidebar.
And I don't know who has there's a lot of argument about who has the best burgers in town, but they're in the conversation.
Always in the running. Yeah, well said.
And so I had a burger called the Hung Jury, which is bourbon, mushrooms, and onions with beer cheese to go with it. And it was really great. And it was especially great because I had one of those Ballantine chocolate milkshakes with it. But
excellent.
It was a nice meal. It's a nice atmosphere. You know, a lot of people think you can't get in places when there's big events, but you know, you got to go try.
Yeah,
you got to go walk
amazing.
In the door and go in.
Well, you also, your favorite drink. I'm surprised, Big Boy had beer sour, a beer chibo. What, you had a sour beer?
Well, it was beer and bourbon. I found that I'm trying to find flavor combinations that mix those two things. So this was on the menu. It had orange bitters in it. It had orange marmalade.
So it was a cocktail.
Lemon juice. Yeah, but it was...
Oh, like a whiskey sour.
But it had
a bullet
bourbon and Shock Top beer and those other ingredients.
That must have been great.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome.
It was pretty cool. At Beeraceba... I want to pronounce it right. Birachibo.
Right.
Okay. They got a new general manager there, we know.
That's right. Michael Beckman, St. X High boy.
Yeah, he just started last week. I was there for the Pints for Parkinson's event we talked about on this show.
I hated missing that.
It was a blast. It was really cool. Jericho Woods, can put on your list of new bands you ought to check out.
No kidding. And good weather, too, I think, right?
It was nice. We sat outside at Birachuba.
So. Unlike Thunder, we're saying again. Yeah. What is it with Thunder? So I had a much more subdued favorite drink, but I'm still thrilled about it. So again, the Backdoor Lounge, I went there. And was talked into their Old Forester Barrel Pick Pour. Now, every single one of those, I'm a huge Old Foe fan, but their barrel picks, they always mandate that they're watered down to 90 proof. I don't understand it. You get in there for the great bait and switch, you taste it at potentially 120 proof, blows your mind, and there you get it in the bottle at 90. But this is the first that I've tasted. It's just fantastic. So this is why these barrel picks are great. They're unique. It's the best thing to go out and pick those and just, you know, get a one-off unicorn of a bourbon. $5.50 for Rick, what surely was a 2.5 ounce pour.
Well, that's a deal.
It was a huge deal.
You can go for two of those. Anyway, so those are our favorites brought to you by Copper and Kings. Our sponsors we want to mention once again are the Eye Care Institute down here on Story Avenue. It's your one-stop shop for eye care. Call them at 502-589-1500. And, Steve, I guess your guest is from our other sponsor.
That's right. So Barry Yates, if you're listening into this, cover your ears for the next 30 seconds as we talk about the menu. He told me before the interview he wanted to be surprised and see what Patrick Roney was going to do. So here's a bit of the menu. Again, we get some seats open still for the 12-person chef's table dinner, which happens in the back of the kitchen there. So I like this one. Thanks, Patrick, for Frenching it up. Fromage de tête, which is head cheese in English. It's fantastic. But he's got a little Korean in there. Char sweet pork belly, chilled asparagus soup with potage de champagne, crispy pig's ear, ham hock, ricotta tortellini, secreto, which is a really odd muscle that they take out of the shoulder. And it's secreted, as it were, because it's hard to find. And it's absolutely delicious. Wood roasted copa, blah, blah, blah. $85 for food, $35 for optional wine pairings. I suggest you get them. Get the pairings and get a lift home. Call 384-9090 to make those reservations. It is Thursday, April 27.
All right, and we're going to hear, I guess, Barry Yates is the first hog farmer we've had on the show.
Barry Yates is awesome. He is a chef by trade, and I make him talk about the restaurants he cooked in Louisville for a long time. He was at Ferg Grisani. I don't believe we had any ex-Ferg Grisani folks on the show, but he is the director of innovation at Winston Industries, which is a little-known company in Louisville that is internationally known for its high-end restaurant equipment. They invented the Collectromatic fryer, which revolutionized KFC, and the CVAP oven, which is just an amazing piece of technology. Ask any chef. So listen in as the humble, funny, and not short-winded Barry Yates tells his story. But I'll let him go because he's great to talk to. We'll see you next week.
Dessert? Yes, please.
My guest today is Barry Yates, Director of Innovation at Winston Industries. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Glad to be here.
Barry is in his role, and I'll let him explain it, a guy that works with chefs all across the world, representing Winston Industries, which is known for the CVAP and the Collectromatic, some of the coolest tools in restaurants here and way beyond, right?
Yep.
But you have a history as a Louisville chef that maybe a lot of people don't know about. Talk about some of the restaurants where you worked in.
Oh, all of them.
We got to be brief. Yeah, I only got 10 minutes.
I started the very first restaurant I started was Ferg Grisani's with actually my mentoring chef was Ferg, the founder.
No kidding.
Yep.
I never got to meet him.
I worked as a busboy, and when we had no customers, which at that time in J-Town, it was quite frequently.
And that's where Louie Louie is now.
It is. I actually would sit in the kitchen at the butcher's table watching Ferg break down sides of beef and veal.
No kidding.
He took a shine to me, and I took a shine to him, and that's where I started. I worked with all the founding members of the Bristol. We opened, Langtree's. We opened the Bristol.
Right.
We opened the French. What was their French concept downtown? It was I don't recall. Yeah, I worked in every one of those operations.
That's
I worked
Doug Gossman, Bim Dietrich, and
every
Tim,
one of them.
Who what was Tim's last
Tim
name?
Martin.
Tim Martin, that's right.
Yeah, and Bim was he was the dining manager for Lang Trees.
Mm-hmm.
Who's our friend? That's the wine guru, Bob Young.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah,
with
he
Bob.
He was one of the managers downtown, I think. But worked with all them. I worked with Edley Hassenauer.
Oh my gosh! And you owned your own place?
Yeah, actually had a couple. The last one in Louisville, we took over the Parisian Pantry.
And what's in that space now?
360.
That's right, the hookah bar.
The hookah bar. Yep, yep, yep. Yeah, it's there.
And at Winston, you're the guy that shows chefs all over the world how to use this equipment. And you've gotten to mentor some of the greatest chefs in the country. Names people might not know, like Wally Dufresne.
Absolutely. Wally Dufresne, Sean Brock, Neil Frazier, Douglas Rodriguez, Ashley Christensen,
oh my
Ed Lee. Just
how
keep
cool.
Keep going down the list. Worked with all of them. Yeah.
Is that, do you like that mentoring role better than the cooking role itself?
Well, it's cool because I'm learning, you know, at the same time. So there's a lot of exchange, you know, knowledge exchange. And it keeps my edge on. You know, it's beautiful.
So why we're, the reason why we're going to have you this week on the show is because we want to talk about an upcoming dinner at Harvest. Each month, the restaurant hosts a 12-person chef's table dinner in which 12 guests come to the middle room of the kitchen and see most of their meal prepared. You are not going to be a chef that night. You are providing the pig for the nose-to-tail dinner. So as if you didn't have enough on your plate, now you're raising hogs. You've been doing that for about 4 years now, I guess?
Right? Actually, now six.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I started in my backfield. Out in Jake there.
Why did you want to raise hogs?
Oh, wow. I think it goes back to my dad. Both of my parents were raised in rural areas.
Uh-huh.
And so we were, both of their parents were farmers, actually. So my parents were the first ones to move to the city, but we were always going back and forth. And there was a pig farm in Howe Valley that we would always pass.
Uh-huh.
And my dad told me that when he was a young man, he thought that was the most successful man in their town. That stuck with me for some reason.
Uh-huh.
And I started inquiring about pigs maybe 18 years ago with Bob Perry.
Who's a professor at UK.
Chef in residence at
talented
UK.
Talented chef. Yeah.
Intensely knowledgeable about pigs.
Intensely passionate.
Yes, he is. And he told me I need to meet Mr. Jay Denham, who at that time was chefing at...
Park Place.
Park Place in Browning Station, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we talked pigs ever since. And then one day... About 6 years ago, Jay Denham calls me up and says, Barry, I have your pig.
Now, the reason why Jay would have his pigs is because he is the curer for Woodlands Pork, and he's also a curer and butcher now at Red Hog in Frankfort. I mean, on Frankfort Avenue, rather.
Yeah.
But speaking of Frankfort, that's where your pigs are on lot, right?
That is correct.
Or on pasture, I guess the better way to say.
On pasture, yeah. We... about a year and a half ago, I ran into a gentleman by the name of George McMakin,
mm-hmm.
who actually is a retired veteran, really neat person, but he always had a dream of reclaiming his family farm, and he actually purchased... most of his family farm back is about 600 acres,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't know what he was going to do with it. And he happened to run into a friend of mine that had some of the pork products that I was producing from our pigs. And he said, that's pork like my dad used to make. And
which almost looks like veal in color and thick fat.
Yeah.
Beautifully marbled.
He nevertheless said, I want to meet the guy that made this. And when he did, he said, let me see your pigs. I took him to see the pigs, and he said, that's what I want to do. So,
and your hogs at the time were what, black?
Yeah, Mulefoots, purebred Mulefoots. Uh-huh. Yep. And that's still my breed of choice. I did a lot of research. They were known as lard and ham pigs,
mm-hmm.
but they're particularly good at foraging, and they're from the southeastern United States, and they were endangered breed.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the thought of helping save them, and they're eating them, which may sound weird.
Strange dichotomy, but it's true.
Yeah, it's true.
And they farrow a good deal too, right? Maybe 10?
Actually, mine do. As a breed, they don't. They average around 6 to 8 pigs a litter. And the breeding pair that I put together actually have averaged more like 10.
Wow.
And that's for their breed, you know, that's a good amount.
That pig, that boar's a regular paterfamilias.
Yeah, he's funny.
So what do they taste like? Describe the flavor, because people who go to this dinner, by the way, it's at Harvest again, 384-9090, call for your reservation. What will you taste that's specific to that breed of pig?
Well, the pig that we're serving, we have multiple breeds on our farm. Mm-hmm. We have a purebred Mulefoot line. We have another line of pigs that we're raising that are Osceball Island, that are crossed with a farmer's hybrid. And farmer's mm-hmm. hybrid is a breed that was created like in the 60s by a company called Farmer's Hybrid mm-hmm. in Iowa. And it's an optimized foraging and breeding pig.
Mm-hmm.
And I purchased some of those sows from Jay's friend in West Virginia.
Chuck Talbot.
Chuck yep. Talbot to help keep their line going. So this pig is going to be one of those crosses. And it's well marbled. Mm-hmm. It's about 250 pound mm-hmm. finished weight.
So a little over a year old, maybe?
Actually, about 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
And before harvest, probably around 325, 340, somewhere in that.
Good size hog.
Yeah, big hog. And, you know, it really, the flavor depends on how you finish them. So really the last 30, 60 days of their life, what they're eating. And our pigs, they're all pastured. They're actually, the smallest paddock that they're in is about 5 acres. That's the smallest.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, these aren't. And they have woods and pasture in those paddocks.
Oh my gosh.
So this pig actually was eating acorns from last season, because there was no animals on this farm except for deer and all that. So they were eating acorns. We were feeding barley,
mm-hmm.
And actually distiller's grain from Country Boy.
Uh-huh.
So I'm anxious to taste it as well.
And last question. So you're not going to be involved in the preparation, even though you're a chef by trade. You want it to be a surprise done by Patrick Roney and his crew.
Yeah,
right?
I love Patrick's work. We're dear friends. I actually get to cook with him quite often, but in this case, I'm going to leave it all up to him and just enjoy the dinner.
All right, so don't read, eat, drink, talk, because that menu is going to be online. So it's April 27th. It's a Thursday. Cost is $85, $35 extra if you want wine pairings, which I strongly recommend. And I'll strongly recommend a Lyft ride home as well, or designated driver. You'll get to meet Barry Ace. He'll be the featured farmer. Buddy, thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.